International Capital Market Insights from ICMA.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening in to this ICMA podcast. I'm Rebecca Bray. I'm a member of the ICMA's Future Leaders Steering Committee, and I'm joined today by two speakers, portfolio managers from Nordea Investment Management, Julie Beck and Althild Asheim-Abo. Hi, and welcome both of you.
Thank you, Rebecca, for reaching out. It is our pleasure.
Julie and Althild are portfolio managers, and the reason why they've come to speak with us in this podcast today is that they have founded Nordea's first ever gender diversity equity fund just over a year ago. So yes, thank you again for joining us. And without further ado, let's jump right into the questions that we have. So my first question is going to be directed to Julie. I think we'd all really like to know, what was your inspiration and motivation for establishing a gender diversity fund?
Sustainability is possibly the biggest challenge we are facing on a global scale. And as individuals, we get to decide how to respond to this challenge. We do it on a daily basis. However, many often feel like there's very little they can do to combat and prevent such large-scale sustainability issues like climate change, poverty, or even equality. As a responsible investor, you can actually have more impact than you think. By taking sustainability factors into account when investing, you can, in a very effective way, help foster positive changes in society. In Nordea, we have worked with sustainable investments for a long time. It was therefore natural for us to look at less established factors, like the fifth Sustainable Development Goal put forward by the United Nations in 2015, namely gender diversity. In a social context, increased corporate diversity contributes to a more equal and fair society. From a corporate perspective, companies that are willing and able to put in the extra resources to work towards and succeeding in implementing a supportive, including, and a diverse culture, they will benefit. To name a few examples from the real world, Visa, for instance, who is a global leader in payment technologies, they point to the fact that they have seen increased retention rates across their company as a direct result of their work to increase gender diversity. The cosmetics company L'Oreal devoted the whole True Match campaign to diversity. What they did was linking a wider color range of foundation, which was the product. They linked that to one of the company values, namely diversity. The campaign was a huge success. Not only were L'Oreal able to capture new client segments, but the fact that diversity is a core value within the company, that gave the campaign credibility, and it actually increased L'Oreal's brand perception. If we look in a global economic context, studies by Goldman Sachs and PwC separately identify strong GDP upside from greater female workforce participation. This is especially true for countries facing demographic headwind. All this is very encouraging, but as investors, we are, of course, very interested in looking more into this from an investment angle. The companies we invest in have to be competitive. Research to a greater extent points in the direction that companies that privilege gender diversity can actually achieve higher returns. This finding is also supported by our own backtest, which goes back 10 years. Besides from showing that our universe of gender diverse companies were very much able to compete with the overall market, our backtest showed that using our existing successful factor model on this universe actually increased returns further. To us, that is a very, very strong signal and a very positive signal. Due to the social incentives to invest in gender diversity and the corporate incentives and also the economic incentives, we chose to establish the Nordea Gender Diversity Fund.
Thank you, Julie, for sharing those insights. That's really, really interesting and very, very insightful. I would say that, you know, what I find so interesting, as you alluded to, there's a lot of materials and a lot of focus from the investment community on sustainability as it pertains to climate change and environmentally related UN sustainability goals. So gender diversity is definitely a less explored area. So it's super interesting to hear your insights on that. So, you know, I think just switching gears a little bit, the next question I'd like to direct to Outhild. I'm just wondering, when you actually started to establish this fund and get it up and running, did you experience any challenges along the way?
Well, one of the major challenges we faced, even before launch, was getting past preconceived notions that this was a women's fund. There were some misguided perceptions that this was a fund that would invest based on a hypothesis that women are better leaders than men, which is simply not the case. And let me just emphasize that this is a gender diversity fund, and it is based on the idea that diversity is better. I believe this misunderstanding was an unfortunate result of the fact that in most companies today, women are often the minority on managerial levels. So in theory, we are looking at diversity in general, but in practice, it usually means that we are looking at the percentage of female representation. We are aware that diversity is a broad concept and it spans a whole variety of factors, such as, for example, education, age, or cultural background. However, we have chosen to focus on gender diversity because, among other things, this is the factor where the data coverage is adequate. As data coverage improves, we will also look into including other diversity indicators. And our long-term goal is to incorporate diversity in a broader sense. But for now, we have chosen to view gender diversity as a sufficient proxy for diversity in general.
Oh, thank you very much, Alta. That's very interesting to hear, and also not so surprising that that there are some misconceptions when it comes to this subject. I think that's something I've definitely heard before. So great to hear that that you've been able to overcome that, and also how that fits into your larger goals for the fund. So you've both kind of touched on this already, but I just want to ask more directly to Julie. So I guess the foundation of this fund is the idea, as you say, that diversity brings better performance from companies. So in the last, you know, year and some months since you started the fund, have you found that this that the evidence has supported your hypothesis and the backtesting that you've done in the past?
The fund is fairly new, so it's not possible to conclude anything based on the fund's performance. However, it is true that research points in that direction. Companies do benefit from utilizing a larger part of the talent pool. Human capital is something a company can really benefit on and something that is very hard for competitors to copy. Intuitively, it also makes sense that companies that are able to attract, retain, and develop the best talent will consequently benefit. Companies that foster a diverse, inclusive, and supportive environment is also less likely to see leadership groups succumb to groupthink or miss new threats to a company's business model. And as you hinted at, Rebecca, investing in these companies might even make economic sense. Looking at a study done by Nordea from 2018, for instance, they found that these companies have lower volatility in return on capital employed, and further that having a lower volatility in return on capital employed is in fact appreciated and rewarded by equity investors. That being said, it is important to state that even though a lot of research points in a positive direction in regards to the investment case for gender diversity, we do not see it as a standalone factor. We view gender diversity indicators as good quality measures in line with other quality measures, and we combine those quality measures with traditional return drivers like valuation, growth, and earnings ratios when we assess companies for the fund. The companies we do invest in are not only gender diverse, but they are also sustainable in a broader context. That means that ESG laggards and controversial industries are systematically filtered out from our investment universe. On top of that, the companies chosen for the fund present strong business fundamentals and growth outlook. So gender diversity is not the only factor influencing performance of the fund. That being said, the fund has performed in line with the broader market year to date, which, given the volatile and uncertain markets that we have seen due to the COVID-19, is actually quite good.
Yes, thank you, Julie. I can hear that it's very interesting and nice to hear you clarify that gender diversity is, of course, just one factor that plays into deciding which companies are going to be part of this fund. It definitely seems like the research is very much in support of this approach. So sounds like there are high hopes for the future performance of funds which focus on gender diversity. I'm just curious, so far it's only equity contained in the fund, as I understand it. So do you think that the approach that you're taking currently is something that could be expanded into other products, like fixed income for those of us listening who are working more with that product or other products as well?
The way we have approached gender diversity as an investment opportunity is to initially consider the level of gender diversity in higher management levels. That decision is based on research from, for instance, McKinsey. In their research, they refer to something they call a critical mass, which is basically the level of gender diversity of which companies start to see a direct result of their work within this area. The reason behind looking at higher management levels is not that gender diversity is not important in lower levels of a company. It is very much important throughout the company. However, succeeding in gender diversity is very much about changing the culture of the company towards a culture that values diversity as well as a culture that is supportive and inclusive. In order for cultural changes to succeed in a company, research shows that commitment has to come from the top. And that is why we initially look at gender diversity in higher management levels. We need to see top-level commitment and we need to see it in the numbers. Apart from a gender diversity filter, we also apply an ESG filter that enables us to screen away ESG laggards, meaning companies facing higher risk from ESG measures without having the policies in place to mitigate those risks. Having defined the universe, we then use a factor model to systematically score the companies on a more traditional factors like valuation, growth, and earnings revision. And this is done within comparable companies. The use of quantitative tools allows us to efficiently screen the universe, thereby focusing our energy on the fundamental overlay. It is important for me to highlight that this is an actively managed fund. In the fundamental overlay, we analyze the companies more closely, and the final investment decision is thus based on both fundamentals of the company, growth outlook, threats, and possibilities within the area of ESG. And how companies, of course, are succeeding in implementing gender diversity compared to their peers. Naturally, we also have some risk considerations to look at. In regards to gender diversity, we systematically estimate the depth of gender diversity within the companies by looking at various diversity indicators, like the level of diversity in higher management, the level of diversity in middle management, promotion and career development opportunities. And we look at whether or not the companies have any policies in place connected to diversity. And then we have also looked at the development of these diversity indicators. To sum up, our approach to this has been to create an actively managed fund which combined qualitative tools with a fundamental overlay, and hereby selecting sustainable gender diverse companies with strong business fundamentals. So to get back to your initial question, could this approach work in other investment classes than equities? Well, we do see sustainable investment products in other investment areas than equities, so I would assume it is doable to also include the gender diversity aspect as well. If there is an investment incentive, however, or how to best include gender diversity in the investment process, those questions, I think, is best left to the experts in those areas.
Thanks for your explanation. It's very, very interesting to hear your step-by-step approach. And it sounds, at least initially to me, like that could easily be applied, at least on a high level, to many different product types. So hopefully this gives us some good inspiration for how to carry these principles over into, you know, into the fixed income space at a later stage. So thank you for that. My next question is going to be to Outhills. So I think the ultimate goal of everybody working with ESG and sustainability is to, you know, further these goals in reality in the real world. So when you're working with gender diversity in an investment fund, of course, it's important to reach for good returns and good performance, but of course, ultimately, we hope that in the real world, this will also help to increase diversity in the corporate world. So my question is, do you think that establishing funds like this is actually going to help ultimately to increase diversity in reality?
Thank you, Rebecca. And I think that is a great question. And the short answer is unequivocally yes. And to explain our beliefs, I would like to draw the parallel to the trend we've seen in more established ESG parameters, especially the ones that fall under the environmental factor. It's not that many years ago when capital markets showed rather limited interest in sustainable investments. Investors did not pay much attention to ESG, and green funds or impact investing had a rather poor reputation performance-wise. As a result, companies did not pay much attention to those factors either, especially in their investor relation material. As the population became more aware of the environmental challenges we are facing, they started to show more interest in ESG and sustainable investments. The demand for sustainable funds grew, something large institutions realized, and the number of such products grew immensely. And in turn, as more capital was funneled into sustainable funds, the demand for companies that excelled on ESG criteria increased. As a result, we saw a dramatic increase in the pricing of the ESG-wise best companies, because the supply of sustainable companies was not able to meet the surge in demand that we saw. And we still see some of these effects in some markets, for instance, in Norway. The ESG pricing effect becomes particularly evident when companies raise new capital. When sustainable companies raise capital in equity markets, we often see that they find it much easier to raise the required capital than those companies that are not perceived as sustainable. And it is not just in the equity markets. There is also an increasing number of sustainable fixed income products. And we see that the cost of capital in debt markets is also lower for the sustainable companies. As companies have come to realize this, they have started to focus more on sustainability, which is easily illustrated by the number of companies publishing sustainability reports now compared to just a few years ago. But even though sustainable investments has become quite widespread, we see that it often puts most emphasis on the environmental factors and less so on the social and governance part of ESG. We believe this is a natural consequence of the fact that environmental parameters are more established within sustainability thinking. As time goes by and people's understanding of sustainability evolves, I believe more focus will be paid to the social and governance factors of ESG, among others, diversity. When this happens, I expect that we will see a similar pattern as we did with the environmental factor. Capital will be more readily available to the companies that are leading when it comes to diversity. The companies will realize this, and they will start addressing the issue at hand. In this manner, we as investors are able to create awareness around an important issue and also contribute to increased diversity in the corporate and financial world.
Thank you, Eltild. I can't agree more with your answer. I can definitely see this progression that you speak of with sustainability very much activating on the environmental factors the strongest and the most initially. That has definitely been the case in fixed income. And it's a very interesting time today where, you know, with the current pandemic challenges that we're faced with, I think the social factors have become much more in focus across the financial industry. So very exciting to see that new parts of this are becoming, you know, ignited and can hopefully become as important as environmental factors have been for all of us up until now. So final question for today. This one will be for Julie. And you've mentioned a little bit of your long-term goals for the fund. But I'm just wondering, are there any other interesting projects that you're looking into at the moment? Or, you know, what's going to be the next step for you all in your investment strategies?
As data improves, we are looking into broaden the angle from just gender diversity to diversity in general. Specifically in the US, research shows that ethnical diversity is even more important parameter to look at than gender diversity. But also other diversity indicators like age, education, etc. are of course of interest. Today, we view gender diversity as an indicator for diversity in general, as Ortil also hinted at earlier. And we do that in lack of better data. However, when data catches up, we will definitely look into including more diversity parameters. The process of determining the level of diversity within a company would ultimately be more complicated than our setup today. We would have to set up more subjective criteria, but nonetheless, it would provide a much better picture of the diversity within the company.
Thank you, Julie. I'm very excited to hear about what's in store as data continues to improve. And I think, you know, I'll be leaving this interview very much looking forward to seeing the future of not just your diversity fund, but of diversity funds in general and their impact on society moving forward. So with that, I'd like to thank you both very much for taking the time to speak with us. And thank you for everybody who has listened into this podcast.
Thank you for having us, Rebecca.
Thank you for listening to this ICMA podcast. For more podcasts and more information about capital markets, check out our website, icmagroup.org.